Welcome to AI in Journalism. I'm Yumi Wilson, a journalism professor, branding expert, and your host. In this podcast, we'll boldly explore the intersection of AI and journalism, from its origins to its implications for newsrooms. We'll discuss the symbiosis of AI and human judgment, ethical concerns, and most importantly, arm you with the knowledge to navigate this brave new world. Whether you're a budding journalist, seasoned editor, or simply an AI enthusiast, join us as we fearlessly uncover the future of journalism in the age of artificial intelligence. Welcome to AI in Journalism. Welcome to the premiere episode of AI in Journalism. I'm Yumi Wilson, your host, and I'll guide you through the intriguing and daunting realm of AI in journalism. Today, I want to talk about the evolution of AI in journalism with Sri Srinivasan, an esteemed guest and trailblazer, to discuss how far we've come and how much more we have to go. But before we delve into all of that, let me share my journey, which mirrors journalism's current transformation. I'm a dedicated mentor, trainer, and leader with teaching experience at SF State, UC Berkeley, and the Women's Media Center in DC. During my 3 years at LinkedIn, I led the LinkedIn for Journalists initiative, witnessing the power of digital networks in enhancing personal branding and transforming journalist audience interactions. Now my focus has shifted to the frontier of artificial intelligence. Far from being confined to science fiction, AI presents many opportunities and challenges for journalists. From advanced algorithms to large language models, LLMs, AI is reshaping how news is produced, consumed, and understood. So how do we stay on top of all of this? Who should help us as we navigate this terrain? I'm honored to welcome our guest, Sri Srinivasan. Sri is a seasoned innovator and curator of the Great AI Acceleration, a thought-provoking newsletter exploring AI's impact on society. He's also the co-founder of DigiMentors, a consultancy specializing in social, digital events and training. And that's not all. Sri serves as the president of SAJA, South Asian Journalists Association, and sits on the board of Nobel Prize Outreach. And I'm not done. He was also the chief digital officer for the city of New York, Columbia University, and the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Sri, it's an honor to have you join us today.
And it's my honor and pleasure to be on your very first episode. And this topic is so important. This is going to be followed by journalists all over the world. And I'm glad that I can play a small role. And thank you for that very, very generous introduction.
Well, thank you for, you know, making this the first episode of what I do hope is something that journalists, communicators, and others can turn to as we, you know, kind of jump into this big world of AI that I'm learning has been so impactful already, but that's just the beginning. So that leads me to my first question. Reflecting on the evolution of AI in journalism, we see its roots early in the days of automation, where algorithms facilitated sorting and categorizing news content. But the emergence of advanced AI, boasting natural language processing and machine learning capabilities, I mean, this, we're talking about a new era. How do you perceive this transition and what significant impacts do you believe it has or had on the journalism landscape?
Thank you. This is a big question and we need to do two things. Look at it from, you know, very high level and also look at it kind of on the ground and to understand what has happened. It helps to think about the role that technology plays in the lives of journalists and journalism. As an industry, journalists are exposed to so much technology all the time, wherever they work, going back decades. And so whatever was the high tech of its day, journalists were exposed to it. And therefore, I have found in training journalists about technology for about 30 years now, that they are often reluctant to jump into new tech because they're already drowning in tech. And so that's one of the reasons why you saw journalists not be at the very forefront of the opportunities with the internet when it first came in the mid-90s. You saw journalists were not at the forefront when social media came around in the mid-aughts. And now we're here at AI. And those are three distinct times when technology has changed journalism, often for the better, sometimes for the worse, but it is the reality of what we're exposed to. So when it came time to start teaching people about AI, as I have all these other technologies, I had to follow the same principles that made it possible to get journalists interested in other tech. For example, you mentioned your incredible work you did with LinkedIn for journalists. Now it seems obvious that journalists would love LinkedIn, but I and others, you, did so many workshops convincing people of the value of LinkedIn. I did my first LinkedIn workshop in 2006, and journalists just didn't understand social networking, didn't understand the value. And so you had to show them that this is exactly how their reporting lives and their professional lives, and maybe even their personal lives, will be affected by this tech. And then they were open to it. I think what you're seeing with AI, that reluctance has fallen dramatically because of those previous two tech revolutions and explosions. They have now seen that they have to be paying a lot more attention than they might have otherwise. And so, you know the story, AI is not that new. It's been around for decades, but something changed in October of 2022 when ChatGPT came along from OpenAI. And from then to now, just 18 months or so, we've seen journalists really embrace it, get involved. Every major news organization has an AI team, an AI director, VP of AI products, like all kinds of things. So they are determined not to be left behind the way they were in those other two revolutions or milestone moments. So that's one important thing. The other to think about is that those other platforms took a long time to show their value, to show the dangers that they pose to journalism. Whereas in this case, journalists have got it immediately. They understand. And in fact, we've seen the German news organization Bild just lay off 200 people and say, hey, AI will take care of it. We've seen how people have understood the power of this and the dangers of it. So I think this time, the time frame has collapsed. And the opportunities are greater and the dangers are greater.
It would be a disservice if I didn't start with the job layoffs, the shuttering of newsrooms, more recently Sports Illustrated of all places, laying off and then closing. I think that perhaps is a really big concern as we look at the former technological advances. There may have been concern about what it meant for an individual's job, but now we're in a realm where my colleagues, people I once worked with, the Chronicle or the Associated Press, are really worried about their future. So could we perhaps start there? Are we going to be replaced or are we going to be enhanced by what's coming?
Can be both, right? There's a terrific technology writer named Daniel Pink, who has written that AI won't replace humans, but humans using AI will replace humans not using AI. And what that means is that all the scenarios you described are going to happen. Journalism is going to be enhanced and improved, but it's also going to be greatly damaged. And, the recent layoffs that you described, the shuttering of operations, all of that you've seen, something like 700 journalists have lost their jobs in the first month of 2024. 2,000 plus journalists have lost their jobs since 2023. But we have to keep in mind that since 2000, about 20,000 journalists and jobs have been lost over time. So none of this is new. Just like you can't blame the internet for all the troubles of journalism, you can't blame AI for all the troubles of journalism. But what you're seeing right now is journalists, media organizations are projecting the influence of AI into their calculations of what their workforce is going to look like. And that's why my message to journalists is understand this technology, get ahead of it, fight to save the things that you can, push past the things that don't really affect you, and show the value of what we do. Journalism matters, accuracy matters, fighting disinformation and misinformation matters. For all of those things, I'm still bullish that journalism will survive. But will the current set of newsrooms survive? Will they be the same shape and format and size that they are now? No. And AI will only be part of the problem there.
As professors, I think one of the things I love about being a professor is the winter break and the summer break. And I've found it to be very, very important in my life and career as I figure out, how do I improve for this younger generation? How do I improve for the next generation? And over this winter break, I realized I was way behind when it came to AI. And it's kind of interesting because you know me from my years at LinkedIn, and I think that's how we met, which was I was trying to be on top of those trends and realizing very much so this winter break, I'm behind and I need to catch up. So one of the things I've already done is to incorporate the use of AI into my writing classes, whether they focus just on journalism. I also teach some media writing courses where people are looking at public relations or script writing, really. What I'm finding with all of those industries, it's not just journalism that's changing or changed. It's Hollywood. It's PR. It's marketing. It's branding. So what would be one thing that a writer, especially a journalist, could do right now if they haven't yet tested out the waters, if they haven't yet plunged into ChatGPT, for example? What is one thing you might recommend that they do to try to maybe even just get started or think about the use of AI?
Well, the very first thing is to actually use the technology. Get your hands dirty. Get in, open bard.google.com and see how it works. See the opportunities that it shows you. See the pitfalls that it shows you. I want to rewind again to the workshops that I used to do. Now I do I created a course called My Non-Scary Guide to AI, and I've been teaching that since May of 2023. I've taught in 8 countries and to whole groups of journalists. And
I need to take that class.
I learn a lot doing that. Happy to do it anytime for you. But I learn so much teaching. Every time I teach, I'm learning something new because everything about AI is so new and changing so quickly. But I want to go back to tell you that journalists, for the same reasons I mentioned already, or being overwhelmed by tech on a daily basis, I used to do workshops about Google, convincing people to use Google, because journalists used other platforms. They loved Alta Vista. They loved something called Dogpile. They liked Ask Jeeves. There were all these search engines. We're talking, you know, before Google came along. And journalists just didn't see the value. And so what you have to do is show them, here's what happens when you go in. And you might remember Google had this thing, it still does, but nobody uses it, called the I'm feeling lucky button, right? And you type in something, I would show them, type in something and hit that button, and you're going to get a pretty good answer. And that aha moment is what journalists need to experience. They need to get in there, open accounts on these things, and just practice. No one has to know that they're doing it, and there's so much material out there to guide them. But that very first step is making that first effort. So there are multiple ways to do that. Open an account, create something. But you know, they can also go to an AI detector website and cut and paste their last original thing that they did, a column they wrote or a newsletter, whatever, and see what it says. It might say back, this is 100% human written, or it might say it's 95% human written. And that's another way to see, oh my God, this stuff is deciding that things I wrote, I didn't write without help from machines. And that's where you see the problem.
Where do I go to find a detector?
So if you just type in AI writing detector and several will pop up, you can either put in a URL or cut and paste a piece of text and you can see that. And that's when you will understand and realize the dangers of this platform. But I don't want journalists to be scared, so I want them to try other things. Try creating an image in one of the image creators and see that, wow, I could do that. I didn't know how to do that. And when we have a chance, maybe we can talk about some ways in which journalistic examples that people are doing have already done to give people an idea. And then I would also recommend Journalist Toolbox, which is a website and platform that is absolutely essential. It's full of tips and tricks and things that will help people understand how this works. So Journalist Toolbox AI, and they will learn a lot. They just sign up for everything there.
Thank you. Before we do get into examples, I do want to bring up concerns that recently the New York Times raised, you know, legally challenging the content. They believe that their content has been used to help the AI create the kind of answers they do for others. So how do you address that concern as we encourage journalists and writers to use these tools?
Yeah, so I mean, that itself tells you that the system has used journalistic tools to scrape and learn, make these large language models, right? They have the archives that they're going looking up against, are from the New York Times and other publications. And we are seeing that, as we've said, this is not just about journalism. There's also the Hollywood writer strike was partly about how AI is affecting what they're doing. Hollywood actors, like all of this is affected by AI. So this is all around us, and we need to be paying attention. And by the way, the Journalist Toolbox is created by Mike Riley at the University of Illinois in Chicago, and he's a terrific resource for everyone. So they should be checking it out.
Ooh, maybe a potential guest.
Yes, you should be absolutely a guest.
Thank you for that. That would be wonderful. Okay, so how about some of those examples?
Sure. So I'm going to give you some broad ideas. We have seen publications, including Cosmopolitan magazine, do entire issues about AI and its impact on society. And for their cover, they created a cover using AI. And it says on the cover, this design took 20 seconds to make this illustration. So in one way, it's like, well, this is good enough to make an AI cover in 20 seconds. But that's 20 seconds. Of course, they used many iterations and all of that. But if you're a graphic designer, if you're a creative person, you have to think about what that means, right? So that's an example. A Rolling Stone wanted to review the record of Lil Yachty. And what they did was, instead of having his album just reviewed by AI, which other people would have thought of, they then published the review and then published notes, a review of the review, if you will. And that really showed how the AI thinks. And that's something, by the way, what I tell journalism professors and others to do with their students. Have their students do something on, you know, write it by themselves, then look at the AI version of that, and then compare it. It's a good way for them to see that their writing, their thought process, the critical thinking is better than what the AI can do. So that's something you can look at. I'll give you some other examples. The AP has a wonderful AI strategy director named Amy Reinhart. She does amazing work with the AP. And she and others at the AP have come up with some AI projects that they've talked about publicly. They have an automated public safety incidents collection and publication. They do this out of Minnesota. Out of a Puerto Rican news outlet, they are doing Spanish translation of National Weather Service alerts. They're doing automated video transcription out of KSAT TV in Texas. They, in Pennsylvania, they're doing public email pitch sorting. You know, if you go on TV and say, send us in your ideas, you get hundreds of ideas come in, right? So sorting through that. They've done meeting transcripts with keyword alerts of government meetings and things like that. They did that in Michigan. So that's one set of examples. Another set of things that people are doing, looking at, et cetera, getting feedback on your story before you send to an editor. So you write your story, and you know how sometimes you'll have a buddy look at it? So you just send this to the AI, and the AI will give you feedback saying, hey, you're use that same example a couple of times. Use the same phrasing a couple of times. You know, just giving you kind of light feedback, not edits, but light feedback. And also they say, you used an example here, maybe you could move that up a little bit, just very light edit. So it gives you some confidence before you go to an editor. Another system turns a story into a TikTok post, which is something that a lot of journalists are asked to do.
Whoa, I want that.
Another puts SEO suggestions for your story. A lot of CMSs, as you know, the content management systems, ask for a headline suggestion, SEO keywords, and this one will do that automatically. You can also take a lot of links to put together a newsletter fast. You can also take a traditional text story, turn it into a Q&A or an FAQ really quickly. You can write a story based on wire copy, but give you another way to look at it. They can give you suggestions for follow-up stories. You know, journalists are always looking for ideas, always looking for new ideas. I don't think we do enough follow-up journalism in American media. And like, what happened? Tell the story. Let's hear what became of that. I mean, we hear when something big comes out of it or there's a scandal, but we don't hear about, staying on stories is what I tell a lot of young journalists to do. And this is a neat thing. They also have a feature where if your FOIA request, your Freedom of Information Act request, gets turned down, it will write an automatic appeal so that you can get that process started. So instead of being downhearted that you didn't get it.
That's amazing. That's a game changer.
Yeah, these are all in tiny ways game changers. You add them all up, you can hear somebody, you know, I'm a bean counter and I'm looking at this and saying, hey, this is going to save us a lot of headcount.
Yeah.
Instead, what we should be proving as journalists is that each of these things frees up my time to do original reporting, original analysis, explanation, detailed work, more investigation. So don't fire people. Don't let us go. Instead, yes, this is more productive. Yes, we become, it speeds up some parts of our day, but that doesn't mean that we have less work to do. There's actually work to do that we need to concentrate on that will help you, the boss of this media company.
That's really great advice. You know, I think that we all worry that we're going to be replaced, but really what it is if these tools can enhance our productivity, they can be of use to us. And I see that, and I'm starting to experiment with myself. And I like that mention that you make about, you know, instead of showing your story to a friend, because in some ways when I'm using, for example, there's this AI tool called PseudoWrite, and it's if you're writing a novel or a short story, and sometimes I'll put in my idea for the premise. And what I love is, it, like a friend, they're suggesting, well, Yumi, instead of being in the mystical forest, what if you took it to a sci-fi, you know, dystopian adventure? And so I do see the benefits of using these AI tools to produce just more creativity, more results, more productivity. So I think that's really helpful.
I love that. And of course, I'm taking notes right now. And so I wrote that down, S-U-D-O, right? And I see it's the non-judgmental, always there to read one more draft, never run out of ideas, even at 3 a.m. AI writing partner you always wanted. So I think that's important. So it's not writing your novel for you. It is being that back and forth partner that you need. I love this. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. And what was interesting is yesterday in one of my classes, I was demonstrating the use of ChatGPT, and then it came up with a response. And then I dropped that same passage into Grammarly, which now, of course, has a much more robust AI tool as well. And what was so interesting is that the students could see in real time how laborious, if you will, the sentence itself was when it was written in the first tool. And so to me, what we're learning is, yes, it can improve your productivity. Yes, it can help you when you hit that writer's block or you're not sure what to write. But ultimately, it's about how do we make it our own? So looking at what they've come up with, but knowing that that's just the beginning. And how do I revise that sentence, for example, or that passage, so it sounds more like me?
So this is good for any fiction, is that correct? aimed at fiction writers?
Pseudo-write absolutely is a tool for novelists, and it has some plugins that you can do some short stories. I'm still kind of looking for any other tools that look at creative writing. And the reason why I think pseudo-write is useful is that in ChatGPT and many other AI tools, if you use explicit language, for example, it will not take that. It's not allowed, if you will. Have you had that experience?
I haven't written a lot of stuff with expletives, so I haven't seen that yet.
Okay. And then I looked it up, and there's some policies on that. So there is some limitations, especially if you're in creative writing, in that creative space. And then the other thing are, of course, all of those tools that you mentioned. You mentioned graphic designers earlier. Graphic designers play a huge role in newsrooms as well. And one thing that I noticed is that one graphic designer who's now doing these webinars and doing quite well, is she embraced the use of AI to enhance her business. And that's what she's now training others to do. So I think that even if you're concerned that your very position, what that you do might be replaced because they can do it in 20 seconds, you mentioned that cover. The reality is a graphic designer has the fundamentals that many of us do not have when it comes to what makes a beautiful image, what's great composition, what's the rule of thirds for photographers and other visual storytellers. So what I do also try to remind people of when they are thinking about AI is, if you know the fundamentals, these tools are going to enhance that. But if you don't know the fundamentals, like you don't know what makes a great photo, or you don't know what makes a great lead in news, and you rely simply on a tool like ChatGPT, that could be a real big miss, right? So knowing the basics and then using these tools is kind of what I'm aiming for. I think I'm inspired by you, Sri. I want to be like you.
Thank you. I think we all would learn from what you have made your mission, helping people understand these technologies and navigate and get, you know, use these tools as to the maximum potential. And this idea that the best journalists will benefit from these tools because they understand how to use them and they understand the problems and the benefits, I think is absolutely on point.
What are your thoughts about local journalism? Are we going to see fewer or more local journalists, as many of the functions that individuals used to do will be done by AI tools? Do you think we'll see more coverage, more people in the local journalism world?
Long before the AI revolution, local news in this country has been in deep trouble. And a recent study showed that half of American counties are news deserts. And you can't blame that on AI. So what I'm hoping is that AI will allow, at cheaper cost, some news organizations to exist that never would have existed in the old days. Nonprofits and others can step in and provide tools and provide ways in which we can work together to get the word out about accurate news. You know, one of the problems is not just the news desert, that the fact that a news desert exists, there's no newspaper there or news outlet there. It is not a misinformation desert, because information is there, coming on Facebook, coming on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, and it's full of the bad stuff. There isn't a counterweight. And so I'm hoping that using the right AI tools, we can put together some opportunities for media organizations that wouldn't have survived otherwise, or wouldn't even exist otherwise. So maybe new things will spring up. That's my hope.
That's exciting. Yeah. Are there any initiatives, any grant initiatives, any kind of big organizations undertaking any type of like research projects or anything to explore the use of AI?
Yeah, no, I think we're seeing a lot of new ideas, new efforts. All the journalism-oriented foundations are looking at AI seriously to see what they can do. So there's no lack of efforts and ideas out there, but it is still early. And during the course of your podcast, in the months ahead, you're going to be able to document that.
Yeah, I'm excited now.
Yeah, you'll be able to document what hasn't even, you know, started to appear yet. And so that, I think, is very exciting and a good opportunity.
Well, and on that note, I just want to thank you, Sri, for joining me on my journey on the very first episode of AI in Journalism. Where can we find out more information about the workshop that you hold?
Yeah, so if they just email me, sri@sri.net, or connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm happy to tell people about them. I do the workshops in person or online on Zoom or any other tool that they're comfortable with. We do 30-minute sessions. We do 3-hour sessions. So totally customized to help people who need to understand where this is all going.
Once again, thank you, Sri, for joining me. This has been a wonderful way to learn about the evolution of AI in journalism. And it's very exciting to see what is next. So I'm sure we'll be talking soon. Thanks again.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And congrats on the show.
Thanks for listening to AI in Journalism. If you liked what you heard, please hit that subscribe button. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn to share your thoughts and suggest future topics or even guests. And remember to always keep questioning and keep growing.